Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to take a look at a few different scriptures together. We're going to start out in the book of Ephesians, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesian church. And he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is a wonderful passage of Scripture that really defines why we're here today. Because we have been saved by grace through faith. In other words, our salvation is absolutely 100% gift. It's not 90% grace, 10% works. You know, if it was even 1% work, you could boast in your 1%. But here, there's no works, there's no boast. This is a good, humble reminder. It is 100% the grace of God that we're saved. Zero boast. However, works do have a place, right? We're not saved by good works, but as his workmanship, we've been created for good works. So good works have a role. They're important. They don't have a saving role, but they are a powerful role in terms of who we are as believers in this earth. Those good works are God's plan for your life. That's a big deal. And not only, they're not haphazard, they were ordained, prepared beforehand. So in other words, these good works are a tapestry of a plan and a purpose that he has for our lives. So we very much embrace with excitement those good works he's ordained us to walk in. But we're saved by grace through faith. That's how we got here, through a saving faith. As Paul writes to the Romans, we find out something else about faith as it relates to our relationship with God. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." This gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. And it moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living by faith. This is a very important distinction. In other words, yes, we are saved by grace through faith. We got here because we believed God. We believed the gospel, what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. Praise God. And we were born again. But the scripture goes on to say that that faith doesn't just stop at getting saved. In other words, it's not stagnant. Oh, yeah, I remember doing that however many years ago. No, it's a vital, growing faith. Because this truth of righteousness is something that takes a lifetime to unfold, all right? Now, when you first get saved by grace through faith, when you experience this salvation, conversion experience, it's what the scripture would call, when a person does it, they receive Christ and they're a baby in Christ. You're a newborn babe in Christ. In other words, you don't know the Bible, you don't know anything. I mean, you're just... it's gaga goo goo. God loves me and I'm forgiven. Amen. That's all you need to know. And you're saved. Praise God. But you know, as a person experiences Christ, it doesn't take long. Maybe a few days, a week, whatever. You mess up a few times, and that baby in Christ is absolutely convinced that they lost their salvation. They feel just the way they did before they got saved. They feel, and you got to come along and say, "Hey, it's okay. It's okay. Jesus isn't just your Savior. He's also your great high priest. You can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. And he doesn't just forgive you, he cleanses you from that unrighteousness, that sense of your conscience being violated. It's cleansed, and you can get back up to serve the living God. And you begin to realize, wow, hey, wait a minute, okay, he's Savior, but he's also my high priest. So this righteousness is something that I can walk in. Even when I make a mistake, I can walk in it, you know? And you're going along a few years or whatever, and you're bumping up against the same thing over and over again, and just like you're frustrated, thinking, I must be the worst at this Christianity. I just can't seem to get past this thing. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody comes along again and says, hey, not only is Jesus your high priest, but when he made you a child of God, he made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old passed away and all became new. And not only are you new, that new man was created in righteousness and true holiness. You are brand new on the inside. You're not living under the old paradigm of a bad person trying to be good. You are living under a new paradigm of being who you are in Christ Jesus as a new creation. It's an upward call. Praise God. And now there's another little blip, you know, of righteousness. I'm growing in righteousness, ain't I? And I can come along and you know, I'm feeling defeated. And that's not all. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And you have the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, you begin to grow. And you look back and say, wow, praise God. I've come a long way from gaga, goo, goo, Jesus loves me and I'm forgiven, right? What is that? That's an unfolding of faith and faith, and you're growing from faith to faith. And righteousness means a little something different to you as you're growing. You get a little different perspective. This is the growth process that we go through. And you can see that there's process in it. And I love the way the scripture puts it here in 1 John. It says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. Is it for an elite few of spiritual giants who have a certain call on their life? No. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, even that word, we don't have to cower in depression. Are you a child of God? You got someone. You've got the greater one living on the inside of you. There is nothing the world throws at us that we have to just submit to and fall under it and say, the world is greater than, nope. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God, why is that? Because if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you operated in faith. In the face of a world that was telling you you're something, in the face of all the junk that's going on, you chose to believe something about God. You chose to believe his word as it relates to the gospel and what he did for you in Jesus Christ. And as a child of God, when you hit the inflection point of Jesus Savior, Jesus my high priest, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, every time you had to do the same thing. You had to go back and say, now, okay, what does God say about this as a child of God who sins? Oh, he says this? Okay, I believe that. I'm going to walk in that too. What does God's word say about someone being in Christ? A new creation? Okay, I'm going to put on that new man, and I'm going to begin this process of seeing myself the way he sees me. Every point of overcoming has a different, you know, you're overcoming something different, but faith is the same. Faith is the same. In other words, I'm not intimidated by what the world throws at me because faith is the same. And the victory that overcomes the world is our faith, okay? We're going to talk about this morning, I'm just calling this facets of faith, all right? Facets of faith. We're going to look this morning, you can't obviously exhaust something in a single Sunday morning, but we are going to, I believe, very significantly define what we mean by faith and overcoming when we have obstacles in our way. There are facets of faith or sides of faith that are the same, regardless of what it is you're overcoming. I mean, whether, you know, you can be overcoming a fear. You could be overcoming an addiction, overcoming financial stuff, relationship stuff, you know, physical healing, body stuff, whatever it is, whatever the obstacle is, faith doesn't change. There's something about understanding faith, how faith works, that changes everything. I'm kind of saying that to say this. In a lot of ways, you're doing better than you realize. Have you ever just overcome something where you used to have a certain fear, a certain hang-up, and there's a security, there's a peace now? You operated in faith to overcome anything. And however you did it, sometimes we do this accidentally. We're just not so much accidentally, but we're just led by the Holy Spirit. We're doing what he shows us to do, and we get victory and overcome. But we can see clearly from the Word of God how we can, on purpose, intentionally, operate in faith. In other words, the Scripture says, yeah, we're saved by grace through faith, but the just are going to live by it. They're going to intentionally live by faith. In other words, they're going to have a response that no matter what the world throws at me, flesh, world, and the devil, I can overcome it because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is not for some faith giant. This is for me and you. This is for me and you, not being intimidated, being able to go on and to realize that we can live for God and we can overcome by faith. But it's important to realize that faith isn't just one-dimensional. There are different facets to faith. And so here, facet number one. There is a seeking side of faith. In other words, okay, new obstacle. Faith is the same. This is what I can do no matter what that thing is. There's a seeking side to faith. And what is it when I'm talking about the seeking side of faith? I'm believing something. I'm believing that God is a rewarder. And this is the way the Scripture spells it out. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. In other words, I've got something new here. I'm either going to lean to my own understanding or I'm going to seek God. I'm going to get the focus off of what I know or what I don't know, and I'm going to be intentional about seeking God. I can come to him. I can seek him. There's a seeking side of faith. And as I'm seeking, I'm believing something. I'm believing that God is able to do something. Now, this decision is big. This is a big step of faith. I mean, it's easy to preach it, but in real life, where faith meets real life, this is one of the biggest steps in walking by faith. Because whatever your deal is, you know, whether it's physical, relational, addiction stuff, you're just kind of in your head. And what you got to do, that first step of faith, is to get out of your head enough just to seek God. To say, I'm just going to seek God in this situation. I'm going to give myself permission to not be intimidated by what I don't know and just begin to look to God and begin to seek him. I love this. To me, I think a beautiful illustration of this is when the classic story, David and Goliath. You know, Goliath, this big dude, big strong guy of the Philistine army. He comes out, huge man, and then he's got all this armor on top of it. And he comes out, you know, and begins to just berate Israel and the armies of Israel. It said for 40 days and nights, over and over and over, you could see that there was like a national state of depression going on. The repetitiveness to where, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Fear comes by hearing and hearing by the word of fear. And if you get that on a loop, 40 days and 40 nights, and you got a nation that is just mesmerized. And David comes along, he's not mesmerized, and he says, is there not a cause? Of course, he takes some guff from his brothers and all that for, like, why can't somebody just fight him? You know, and he wants to do it. But, you know, before he can fight him, he has to make a case. He has to make a case to King Saul. He doesn't say, okay, go out and fight him. He has to make a case to King Saul that he could beat Goliath. And what I love about David is the case that he makes here. He says, but David persisted. I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. We're talking lions and bears here, all right? I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this both to lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he's defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. What was he doing here, though, really? Everybody else was seeing Israel and Philistine. David is seeing God's precious sheep and a lion. That's what he was seeing. I mean, his natural eye, he saw what they saw. But in his heart, he was seeing the same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear can deliver me from this. It's not about the size of the next thing. It's about faith in God. It works the same way, whether you're dealing with lions or bears or overcoming addiction or depression. Oh my goodness, depression. Little depression. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. When depression is this big and your God is this big. When depression is Goliath and mesmerized. That's why I like that word that came out today. I wasn't really planning. But sometimes you can hear that word and that word can be a trigger and almost cause a reverence and a fear. When you're looking up from whether what it is, depression or financial or really, you're looking up and all of a sudden it's the same God who delivered me from this or from this can deliver me from that too, whatever that is. It's not the size of it. There's something about the bigness of God. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. There's a seeking him that will cause him to be bigger than whatever that thing is. There is a seeking, though, that begins a facet of faith that you believe he's a rewarder. You believe he's going to do something. You believe he's going to reward you. This is the way Jesus put it in terms of this attitude toward seeking and believing. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Everyone who can look up from that thing and ask will receive. He who seeks will find. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. I love the Amplified, which kind of gets a little bit more deep in some of these Greek words, but I think it brings it out even more. Keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. He who keeps on seeking finds. To him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. We believe two things, right? He is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You can see on the, you can see the diligence in the Amplified version there too. Ask, keep on asking. In other words, there's a diligence here. Why do you stay diligent? Because you believe something about him. You believe he's a rewarder. That's why you stay diligent. In other words, if I've knocked and I didn't get anything, oh, I tried that and that didn't work. No. The facet of faith that seeks doesn't just seek to check a box. It seeks with a knowing that he's a rewarder. I'm going to keep seeking till I find. He has promised me, and I'm holding on to it. This is faith. This is faith. I'm going to keep on pursuing. I'm keep on going after it until I see and know and perceive what that is. Jesus gave the parable of the widow with the unjust judge. He said she just kept on after that unjust judge until she got it. He said, well, how much more? With the God of all the world who's going to do right. That's who you're petitioning, right? And you know he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He knows your heart. He knows your heart in this gaze. And there is a gaze that we have, an upward-looking gaze that we trust him. And this is where, whatever that is, we begin to be specific about that. 2 Peter puts it this way. He says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. That's everything. We've received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he's given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. All right. This is where we've got an amazing truth in God's word that everything that pertains to life and godliness, and again, whatever that thing is, whatever this next thing is, there's a promise for that. He's given us promises that pertain to life and godliness, everything. Everything the world throws at us. That's why this is the victory that overcomes the whole world. It's our faith because we've got exceedingly great and precious promises for whatever that is. But you know, to find that promise, it takes some seeking. It takes some time. It takes some time out of your day. It takes looking stuff up. You know, sometimes, just process for me, what I'll do, whatever that is, I'll begin to look up the scriptures. You know, we've got great little tools nowadays. Precious Bible promises. We've got that Prayers That Avail Much book that we've given. Hopefully you all have it. If you don't have it, let me know, and I will get you one. But it's the Precious Bible Promises, or the Prayers That Avail Much, where you're praying about something, and then you kind of get a prayer, you know, just kind of a template, some guidance in prayer, and then all the scriptures that surround that, all the precious promises that surround that. And so when I'm getting my gaze off that, I'm getting it up to Him, and I'm beginning to seek Him, and His Spirit's beginning to direct me to His Word. Because when I'm trying to fight this in my own strength, the math is bad. But when I begin to look at those promises, and you got divine nature stuff going on, odds get a lot better over here, don't they? I mean, it's just amazing. There is nothing that the world can throw at us that we don't have a promise for that the divine nature isn't going to partner with. There's a seeking process here. There's a seeking side of faith. And I'm doing all this with a core belief that God is a rewarder. Again, I'm not checking boxes. I'm not trying to be heard for my much speaking. I'm not rat-tat-tatting scripture, 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 scripture. No. I'm believing, I'm meditating, I'm seeing it, I'm letting the Holy Ghost, who's been taught to lead and guide me to all truth, break up that word. As I continue in that word, Jesus said, I will know the truth, and that truth will make me free. There is a process in there, and that's seeking. This is something we can all do if we've been born again. This isn't just for preachers and spiritual bigwigs. Every member of the body of Christ who's called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can look up and seek Him. Get your eyes. Again, it takes faith to break that mesmerizing gaze of night and day and 40 nights, and sometimes it's been years that you're looking up from. But you're intentional. I'm going to seek God in this. I just threw this here in the end because I love this too. It's a proverb that kind of talks about seeking, but from a joyful standpoint. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom. In other words, you've been seeking, you got something. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left hand. In other words, I'm seeking wisdom and understanding. I'm seeking Him. And there is a joy in speaking, because when you get something from God, when you seek and you find, there is a joy in finding that is better than all the things you can desire can compare with that. You get something, and God can give you one word because He knows you, He knows your stuff, He knows what you know about His word. And He can give you something to do, something to say. He can give you instructions. And all you know is one thing. That's God. That's God. I know that word is God. But there's a seeking. And then there's a finding. There's a believing. And then there's a continuing in. So when we're talking about overcoming faith, again, whatever that thing is, there's a facet. There's a side to it. And that is to be intentional about seeking. Looking up. Again, I'm not intimidated by it. Lion, bear, Goliath, same faith, same God. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't David's muscles that got him past those lions and bears. He knew that. Takes God. Same God will do the Goliath. And that's why I'm just saying, to not be intimidated by those things. That's why, again, like that word depression. That's a Goliath to a lot of folks. Just the word. And you better reverence it with me. Well, if the Word of God reverences depression, I will reverence depression. I will do whatever the word of God says. I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Not into a Christian psychology book about the word of God. Do you understand me? You better be sure it's being brought into the obedience of Christ. Make sure that it lines up with the word of God. We are not to be afraid. We are to overcome. It doesn't mean that it's a shame to be afraid. Yes, that thing makes me afraid. But this is what we're talking about. We can overcome whatever that is, a fear or whatever that is. But I'm just saying, I think that's a word by design this morning. Not in my notes. But let's go for the Goliaths out there that are mesmerizing you night and day and day and night. No. God, he's given us everything we need for living a godly life. It's all covered in his promises. All right, next facet. There's a fighting side to faith. There's a seeking side. You're getting some. You're getting those promises. You're hearing God's side of it as you're relating to your situation. But after you hear the word of God, you do have a fight on your hands. And if you are going to overcome by faith, and another facet of faith isn't just the seeking. There's a fight of faith. And again, as you're fighting from a place. You know, you're seeking from a place, believing God's a rewarder. But here you are fighting from a place, something you believe that God's word is true. Because as soon as you seek and find, the enemy is going to come in immediately to try to steal that word. Paul tells Timothy, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue. These are some things that you can pursue. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. All right? This is like Sesame Street. Today is brought to you by faith. So that's the one we are looking at this morning, all right? But you can pursue all these things, but you know, faith is something you got to pursue. You got to go after it. In other words, you can pursue faith to where faith doesn't intimidate you or overwhelm you or kill. No, you can go after faith and begin to understand faith. And he says, fight the good fight of faith. I'll tell you what, I get up, this is one of the scriptures I say every morning because I make myself have to be intentional. Ed, today you are going to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. There's a decision you got to make. I'm going to fight that good fight of faith because I know that my faith is going to be challenged. My faith is going to be tested. From day one, when our Bible was one verse, don't eat of that tree. Just don't eat that tree. You could memorize the whole Bible pretty quick. Satan comes in and says, has God said you shall not eat? There are influences that will try to confuse or distract, or where you experience that seeking and finding and that simplicity of faith. And there's an enemy that comes along and tries to really complicate it and get in your head. And there is a fight of faith. There is an absolute resisting of the enemy as it relates to that fight of faith. And this is where our weapons come in. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It exalts itself against that promise of God that I found from my seeking. What do I do when it does that? I bring those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is where there's a fighting side of faith. What am I doing when God shows me something and the enemy comes in and begins to undermine it and begins to cast out? I say, no, God's word is true. I'm fighting because I believe God's word is true. Compelling argument. Compelling. I can't answer that. I don't have all the answers to all the questions. I just believe God's word is true. I don't have to answer all the questions for me to be able to believe that God's word is true. That's a very freeing, liberating thing. It's a very humbling thing. You have to humble yourself as a child to even be able to respond that way. But when you've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, it's not an intellectual engagement. No, I got the Spirit of God inside of me. He gave me that word. He's witnessing to that word. I'm holding on to that word. You know, David was holding on to a word he had in his heart. People were looking at him from the natural. He looked crazy. But he knew what he was holding on to. He knew the word he was holding on to. I'll tell you what. Passion says, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God, break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of that promise, the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. I'm choosing the word. But what if that happens? God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I can tell you something. That's not coming from God. That suggestion has a trajectory of death. It has a trajectory of fear. I'm staying with the Word of God. Holy Spirit, Word of God, show me whatever I need to know, but I'm going with you. I'm going with your Word. And when He does reveal something to you, it's going to be pure, peaceable, easy to listen to, full of mercy and good fruits. The trajectory of God's thoughts are life. They're not death. They're not fear. They're not destruction. God can correct you in a way that is truth in love. And He'll show you things that'll be super, you'll see it. I mean, sometimes people could have been telling you that for years, and all of a sudden you see it, oh yeah, I need to do that. But He does it in such a way that you see it, you know, when you're seeking and finding. But you got this opposition that is, once you got that precious promise, you're gonna have some incoming. And again, like you referred to David, David had some incoming when he made that decision. Goliath cursed David by the name of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals Goliath killed. Now you gotta imagine the sight. And you gotta imagine the spiritual atmosphere where the only one who's taking odds on David is David. All right? Sometimes you can get into a place and you can just feel the spiritual atmosphere. This is a dark atmosphere. He's standing alone. But he likes his odds. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel." And everyone assembled here will know, "The Lord rescues His people, not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle. He will give you to us." He had some incoming, didn't he? But he had some outgoing, too. He wasn't swinging a sword, as it were, but he was swinging a sword, as it were. The sword of the Spirit, the spoken word of God. And when you're getting into that place, facet number two, the fight of faith, you're going to have that incoming. And don't think there's something wrong about you. Don't think that you didn't just, you know, I didn't seek enough. I didn't begin to declare and really declare those things. And I'll say this, back up one thing. When you're over in the seeking part and He gives you something that you find, write it down. Make note of it. You know, Paul told Timothy, you're going to wage a good warfare from the prophecies that went before on you. In other words, Timothy, you're going to go back and remember those prophecies that said, I'm going to cause you to overcome. And that's going to bring faith in your heart. And those prophecies could come out of Timothy's mouth again. So as you're seeking here and you find stuff, be sure to write that down. And there's a process here. It's not like you're done seeking forever. But you're seeking and there's a fight from those things that you get. And begin to stand on those things that He shows you. Stand on the Word. The Word, the Scriptures He shows you, sometimes He'll lead you to some, it could be a good book, or it could be a good ministry series about a subject or something like that, that feeds your faith, that helps you overcome. Man, you go back and you begin to stand on that stuff, but this is where you're going to begin to speak it out loud. In other words, you're believing in a God that you can't see. You just believe that He is enough, and not only that He is, but He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, that enough to where you're going to take time to seek Him. It's the same way here, even though you still can't see Him here, you're resisting the devil in the name of a God you can't see with your eyes. You're resisting the devil with the word of that God you can't see with your eyes, who gave you that word through His promises, through His prophetic words, whatever that is. And you're fighting, but you're declaring. And when you begin to speak those words, it is powerful. It is, because when you're speaking, it engages your whole being. When you speak, you know, Who am I? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. It engages your whole being. Who do men say that I am? What do you say about this enemy? What do you say? Lord, I want to say what you say. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Praise God. Your name is a strong tower. I'm going to run to it and be safe. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can get in this place and I can begin to declare the word of God over that situation. And here's the cool thing too. Like, take one of those scriptures, like really popular promises that, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God has given me a spirit of fear. I can't just bring those out because we know those. Some of those. God will give you some of those, and he'll give you some ones that you get as you're reading the word of God that are unique. I didn't even know that was in there. You got another thing to swing. But here's the cool thing about it too. When it's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, whatever that thing is, all of a sudden you get another revelation on that. Yes, he can strengthen me to do that. I could never forgive that. The new creation can forgive that. Who has the love of God shed abroad in their heart? Pretty soon you begin to say, man, I'm a new creation. Old things, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not doing it from a place, I'm doing it from a place of who I am. Sometimes when you're moving from this place and you're fighting, you begin to fight more even too from the inward man. You begin to see who you are on the inside. And all of a sudden, wait now, I am a new creation. I haven't been given righteousness just so something to say. That righteousness gives me a spine. It gives me a place in God. I have confidence toward God. And I can pray and receive those things that I've asked for. There's some things that happen here in this fight, is all I'm saying, that will begin to work on the inside of you, that will begin to minister to you in powerful ways. Peter puts it this way, stay alert, watch out for your enemy, great enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him, strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you've suffered a little while, you're not doing this forever. There is a little while. There is a little bit of suffering in terms of having to resist. He will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. That song we were singing, he won't. He won't fail. You know, that's not, this is where you're resisting, and you're declaring he won't fail. He won't. He won't. I'm believing something about that. There's something about the power of those promises. I'm believing. What am I doing? I'm standing up for his word. I'm standing up for his word, that his word is true. But what is that? He goes about as a roaring lion. So in other words, I'm standing on something, whatever this is, and you got contrary thoughts to the word. They are like roars in your head. And this is where David could see it. So, oh, another lion. Take it by the jaw and club it with the word. Just another lion seeking whom he may devour, not me. This is not arrogance. This is not pride. This is important. When you realize faith, and this is where a lot of times faith preaching, faith can be confused with arrogance. It's not arrogance. I'm not preaching externally to be seen of men or whatever, in a way that I'm doing things to be seen of men. This is something in the heart. Because this stuff is taking place in private with you. This is where you're having to rise up on the inside and either choose to be humble and afraid, or cast off that lying spirit. This is not humility. It's not humility to yield to fear. There is nothing humble about it. It takes courage and it takes faith. This is why we have to pursue faith. Don't settle for what somebody says about a faith preacher. You pursue faith for yourself. Get into the Word of God for yourself. See what the Word of God says about faith. You pursue it. Find it. See what the Word of God says about receiving. Let's see what the Word of God says about resisting. Man, we see there is a fight of faith. There's a decision to fight. In other words, and I'm just saying, as human beings, no matter how well I preach this, tomorrow morning, my mind going a few different things, and I'm going to be doing that, and oh yeah, I got to resist the devil. That's why I like, there's some scriptures I just like to start my day with, so I remember up front. And then it's a little harder to trick me in forgetting some of these things. But that's one of them that I do, that 1 Timothy 6:6-16. Just go through that whole thing. Just getting my heart and my mind just in that direction. Because we're human beings, right? So there is a diligence side on this. And so it's like, okay, yep, that's it. But there's, and this is why I like what he says here. He says, stand firm. Remember that your family and the
whole world's going over through the same kind of sufferings that you are. So in other words, just don't think that it's strange. There's nothing different here. There's nothing unique about your battle here, that roar that you're getting. You just got to resist. You're going to come back to that word of God. And then finally, just the doing side. There's going to be an actual engaging that you're going to do. In other words, you're going to hear stuff to resist, but sometimes in that seeking stuff, you're not only going to just get stuff to know the truth, you're going to get stuff to do. You're going to get, he's going to give you some things to do in that seeking. And when you do that, there's freedom in that. That's part of, you know, as you hear the word, as you continue in the word of God, Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. As you're continuing in the word of God, you're getting things to do. And as you're doing those things, you're walking out into a place of freedom. He's given you stuff to do. And again, on the doing side, in the same way, I'm seeking, knowing he's a rewarder. I'm fighting the good of faith, knowing the word of God is true. No matter how slick powers, principalities make it sound like it isn't true, it is true. But there's a doing side that I'm coming from a place that he's faithful to his word. He's going to do what he said he would do. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. This is where it really gets wonderful. This is where faith, man, the Lord gave me a definition of faith that just kind of helped me a little bit, that kind of helped give me permission to get in faith. He just said, Ed, faith is simply on purpose making yourself vulnerable to the word of God. You give yourself permission to make yourself vulnerable to the word of God. God, you said to do this. Man, it looks like I could lose about 500 different ways here, but I'm going to do it. And this is why I'm saying sometimes where we're talking about faith, you've got to bring it back to the word. Sometimes you can hear things preached in a certain way where it gets so... Have you ever seen those commercials where it's like a drug commercial that's going to do something for you, but they got about 100 disclaimers? You might die. You might get sick. Spontaneous horse head, I heard once. But all kind of weird finds, you know, goofy things that could happen to you. And it's like, well, I'm not going to back off from that. I mean, I'll just tell you personally on a journey, just as it relates to love and walking in love. Man, I've had that journey where you can see the power of blessing those who curse you, doing good to those who hate you, praying for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. And then by the time you're done reading it sometimes, you'll hear so many disclaimers, so many, but I'm not going to be a doormat, but I'm not going to do this, and this kind of person, it's different. If this kind of person, all of a sudden you got about 100 disclaimers that you don't have to just simply walk in love anymore. This is why I'm saying you got to bring things into captivity with obedience to the word. That's the weapon. Not somebody else's book. This book. This book is above all the other books. If you're working out of a book, I can tell you something about that book. It's underneath this book. Make sure you're bringing your thoughts into captivity to the obedience of this book. Not to keep so-and-so happy with you because of what they said in their book. This can be the difference between bondage and freedom. Listen to me. This has been walking through this for a while. I know what it's like to do this. God brings you back to this book. And as you come back to that book and the Word of God, you know there's some things that begin to happen. You look at, you listen. But I'll tell you, and I came back to love. And God just brought me back to a place. It's John chapter 13, John 13, 14, 15, but he's talking about love. He said, a new commandment I give to you. Can you give me a commandment? I'm saved by grace through faith. I got a grace chip on my shoulder. Don't talk to me about commandments or law or godliness or anything like that. Get the grace chip off your shoulder. This is your Lord talking. Your Lord has the right to command you. He's your Lord Jesus. And he gives us a commandment. He said, love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. He who has my words and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Boy, that's so simple. The complications of love. When you bring it back to my Lord has said this, I'm going to do this. God, you see my heart. You know what I'm going through. But I trust you're coming to me. You're manifesting yourself to me. What I need, I'm going to love. I'm going to keep your commandments. Praise God. There's a simplicity. in faith that the Holy Spirit will bring you back to. What is it? There's a doing. All right. Making yourself vulnerable. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag, taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sunk in. This is probably the first bullet that was ever shot in this world. The stone sunk in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. But he had the word of the Lord. He had the name of the Lord. He had the power. He had the partnership of the Holy Spirit that we have behind our promises. It's not just me and my little promise waving a flag out here. There is power that I'm partaking in that promise in the same way there was power that partook in that stone. There is an element of the supernatural that you only ultimately experience when you step out and do it. He had to run up. He quickly ran out to meet him. His mind was made up. That's faith to quickly run out and meet him. That's making yourself vulnerable to the Word of God in a very real way. And figuratively, we're doing the same thing. We're running out to meet and declaring what we believe about God. And I just want to close with the scripture because I just want you, and this is the reason why I put that little gem on there when we did talk about facets of faith, because I want you to see another connection with that. So be truly glad. There's a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure trials for a little while. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Oh man, there's something about that joy when you begin to tap in. Nothing's changed on the outside, but something's changed on the inside. You're going to run quickly to meet that thing on the outside because of something that God has done on the inside, that he does by his word and by his spirit. But I love what it says. Your faith is more precious than mere gold. That's why when God says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, oh, it is he who loves me. And there is a response to that kind of faith, that I love God faith. It's more precious than gold. You know, there's two things that we see described. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you, the remission of your sin, it's more precious than gold, all the gold. But there's another thing that's more precious than gold, your faith to God. We see his blood as more precious than gold. He sees our faith as more precious than gold. He sees our vulnerability. He sees us on purpose making ourselves vulnerable to him, willing to seek him, willing to stand up for his word, and willing to step out and do whatever it is he shows us to do. Sometimes the instructions are right in the word of God too, but whatever that is, there's a blessing in the going. Goliath would have never fell unless David had run out to meet him. There was a doing side of it, and there was a doing side of it knowing that God is faithful to his word. So, facets of faith. Again, whatever it is that we're overcoming, lion, bear, Goliath, whatever it is. Sometimes, and I'm just guilty as anybody, you see something new and go, oh my goodness, now I gotta, well, yeah, the promises might be different for that thing, but faith isn't different. You're just gonna seek. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, by the promises of God as it relates to that thing. You get in those promises, then you'll have faith over that thing, but the process is the same. You're gonna seek him. You're gonna knock. And keep on knocking and keep on asking till you get that stuff, till you get that word to stand on, that thing to do, whatever it is. But irregardless, you're going to get faith as you seek, because faith will come by hearing the word of God. Believing, he's a rewarder. There's a fighting side. God's word is true. Once you got it, you stand on it. Again, this book is above all the other books. Don't feel like you got a fully satisfied, check all those boxes. This is the book that you're coming to. This is the book of your Lord, the one who you will stand before. You won't stand before any of the other books. Now, there are other great books. Apostle Paul said, man, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, there's a great ministry that God gives us. He said, but those are yours. You are not theirs. They are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So it's important to understand, we're blessed by ministry materials and things like that, but you have one Lord, one mediator between God and man. It's the man, Christ Jesus. As we're seeking faith, what this does is it activates your walk with God in a way. As you're pursuing faith, there's a fight, standing up, but then there's a doing. Whatever he shows you to do, do it. Is that Mary who instructed the servants? Jesus' first miracle at Cana, she just said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And I'll tell you, that's a great word for us too. Whatever he shows us in that place that we're seeking, you, that's between you and him. This is sweet and private and personal and intimate. And there is nothing like being in fellowship with God and knowing you're in fellowship with God. That's where you just want to stay. That's where their faith is. That's the victory that overcomes our world. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that no matter what we're going through, that we have the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. It's what David discovered. It's what caused him to break the gaze off of Goliath and put it on you as the answer. Father, I pray now for each one here this morning. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I am born of God. I overcome the world. Lord, you can see the thing that I'm dealing with. One thing about that thing, it can be overcome. I seek you. Lead me and guide me. Begin to show me in your word where faith can come, where the promises are that will partake of your divine nature and put me over. I will defend your truth against demonic attacks. I will defend your truth over anything that comes against it. I believe, Lord, your word is true. I believe, Lord, you're a rewarder. And I will do whatever you call me to do because there's liberty in that. There's deliverance in that. There is freedom. And I will be free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Receive that this morning. Praise God. I'll tell you, you know, it's stuff, things that we come face to face with. And I'm so glad that God, you know, we know God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His ways don't change. Faith doesn't change. And I'm so glad that David could see that. Lion, bear, the difference isn't my skill with a rock. The difference is the one who partakes with that promise, the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise God.